Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Well, hello and welcome to Readers Entertainment. I'm your host, Sheila English, and let me tell you, it's cold outside here in Kentucky. I've got lots of snow, and that's good and bad. It's bad because if I want to go out shopping and hanging out, I hate to drive in the snow, and we got a lot of it. But the nice thing is I get to sit in front of the fireplace covered in canines. I currently have 9 in the house. Don't ask me. And I can curl up with a good book or just kind of sit around with a laptop and check out some cool sites and get myself in a little bit of trouble on Facebook playing too much Candy Crush. But that's just me. We had scheduled a guest that I hoped would be able to make it today, Lynn Ann Muse, L.A. Muse, who has an amazing book called A Forest of Doors. And it's a true story, and it's about being an orphan and being orphaned and ended up, you know, becoming a foster child and some abuses that happen along the way. I'm not sure if she's going to be able to call in. A lot of things going on right now. I do see we have a caller. Let's see who we have here. Hi, this is Sheila.
Hi, this is Lynn Ann Muse.
Oh, I'm so glad you were able to call in. We were just we just got started and was just talking about A Forest of Doors, hoping that maybe you would be able to find us, and I'm so glad that you did. Welcome to In Faith Network Radio, and we just got started just a few seconds ago. You know, it's a new year, and there's new opportunities, you know, that come to us in the form of challenges and life's little bumps in the road. You know, I always try to encourage people to make a decision, a conscious decision, to see the glass half full. You know, you take control of your own destiny and make your life into what you want it to be. Which I realize it's easy to say, not always easy to do, but you know what great things you know come to us easily in life. You know, talk a little bit about our guest who's just able to join us. You know, our guest tonight is someone who knows about struggles and who has taken those struggles and turned her life into a living testament. You know, I was reading one of the endorsements for our guest. This is for her book entitled A Forest of Doors, and I wanted to share that with everyone who's listening. A Forest of Doors reveals the tender heart and imprisoned mind of a former foster child, Lynn Ann Muse, and her journey to freedom. Lynn Ann's story breaks my heart. Her experiences of neglect and abuse represent far too many people in our world today. I pray that God will use this book to bring healing, awareness, foster homes, adoptions, and abuse prevention. I'm so very thankful Lynn Ann wrote her story. May we all love actively because of it. And that's by Amy Groschel, Life Church TV, Women's Ministry Leaders. That's a wonderful quote there. So please do join me in welcoming Lynn Ann, L.A. Muse. Welcome, Lynn Ann.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
Now, before we go too far, I do want to let our audience know that I do have the chat session here, and that's opened up. Or if you'd like to call in, please feel free to do that, 646-200-4071, and I went ahead and set up a toll-free number for this show just to make sure that everybody can call in that wants to, 877-497-5906. And, of course, I know not everybody can join us during the live show, so you know, definitely you can always join us at readersentertainment.com. And if you couldn't join us for the live show and you have questions or you want to share your story, you're welcome to do that. We'll have a little blog that'll be up by Monday. And we'll have the podcast, and we'll have some links and an opportunity to post questions or comments. And if something's posted, I promise to get in touch with Lynn Ann and let her know so she can go over and take a look at that. Now, Lynn Ann, the URL that I have, because a lot of our listeners like to look at the website while we're talking, and I have that at www.itancan.net/LAMuse. So, and it's kind of an interesting little website too, because there's little hidden Easter eggs there. You kind of have to put your cursor over some of the items to get something to show up, which was kind of almost like a game. It's very fun. So, Lynanne, I want to start out by talking directly about the book itself. This isn't just a true story, but it's your story, right?
Yes, my story.
And can you give us a little insight to kind of the scope of the story? Does it start when you are a small child, and what part of your life does it encompass?
Forest of Doors is my story, and it starts off, I was the second of five children that were born to parents that suffered from addiction, and the result was we were abused and neglected and orphaned and eventually split up. And some of us were put in an orphanage, and the two younger ones were adopted. And my older brother had been sent to a foster home. My sissy and I remained in an orphanage for 2 years before we were placed in a foster home. And this is my story of the journey of my childhood into early adulthood and the struggles and issues that I had to overcome because of the result of my parents' actions.
Now, why write the story? Like, who is this for?
I wrote A Forest of Doors, Orphan's Quest, to educate the public on issues that are very sensitive, and the number of children in the United States of America that find themselves in a situation much like I was in when I was a child, and we don't have the appropriate number of foster homes and Christian foster homes to care for all of those children. That was my main reason for writing it. It was I wanted to come forth, and the only way that I could bring awareness to something that was really dear to my heart was to tell my own story.
You know, to be honest with you, I guess I don't know why, but I, you know, you think about orphanages and you think about other countries. You don't think about the United States. You know, so when somebody talks about an orphanage, you know, I guess I just don't really, you know, give a lot of thought about what that must be like, you know, for children to be in an orphanage in this country. You know, tell me, what was the most difficult thing that you encountered when you were writing this story?
It was difficult to go back and relive some of the painful and dark places of my childhood. I realized that I had a lot of healing yet left to do by going back and revisiting those dark times.
Now, have any of the people from your past read the book? And if so, what have they said about it?
I've had a lot of people from my past read the book. A lot of classmates that I went to school with in my elementary and high school years that have read the book, and the feedback has been positive, and also there's Goodreads. You can see comments that people post reviews on the book, and a few of those classmates had no idea of the life, the childhood that I had.
Well, you know, tell us, just to kind of bring this into focus a little bit, tell us a little bit about what you're doing now with your life.
I am a volunteer. I am a CASA, which is court-appointed special advocate for children. I work for the court system, or I volunteer for the court system. If a judge feels that he would like to have an advocate that speaks for that child, he'll assign me to take that case, and I do that with a really good friend of mine, Catherine Walker, and we co-CASA together, and we represent the best interests of children that are thrown into the state custody and foster homes.
Now, when that happens, are you also having to deal with the parents, or do you just deal with the children?
There is occasion where we do deal with the parents. We communicate with the parents. It just depends on which direction the case is going. If it's going to terminate the parental rights, well, then we really don't have any need to communicate with the parent. If the parent is willing to get the help that the state requires in order for them to get their children back, well, then we would interact with the parent to make sure that they were following their treatment plan.
Have you ever had a case where you're being an advocate for a child and it kind of hits close to home, where you feel like, wow, this could have been me, or I wish I would have had someone like myself when I was this age?
Yes, exactly. That. I have been doing CASA work for about 2 years, and that's really what inspired me to share my story, to bring awareness to this growing need for CASA volunteers or Christian foster parents. I didn't have a CASA growing up. I had a caseworker. I don't recall having very much interaction with a caseworker. Had I had a CASA that just came to speak to me and listen to me and be my voice, you know, things probably would have turned out a little bit differently for me, knowing that there was someone there that really cared about me or the foster child. And I see that in all of these foster children that I work with. They're lost. They've lost everything that they've known. The very pure essence of a mother's love has been taken from them. And to be able to offer them the hope that they're not alone, that they have Jesus living in their heart, and that I'm not going to go away until we find them a forever home. And I let them know that they're in their situation, it is not their fault.
So for you growing up, did you find that you struggled yourself with just kind of feeling worthy, or trying to put your, you know, feel your place in the world?
Absolutely. I grew up with a feeling of I didn't have any value. I was disposable. I carried the shame of, you know, my parents didn't even want me. I mean, how valuable really was I if they didn't want me? And not only did I feel that way, three of my siblings felt that way. And it was only growing up and reaching my mid-30s that I was able to understand what was going on with me and why I felt that way. People would look at me and they would go, you know, you're very attractive, you're accomplished, career-oriented. They didn't see what was on the inside. And
right.
I was the one that had to identify that. And that's why it's hugely important that we, CASA Christian mentors, are out there telling these children that it wasn't their fault and they have value.
You know, I I was really interested in being able to talk to you. Part of it was just the, you know, the raw essence of the book, and I really do encourage all the listeners to, you know, to get this book and to read this. I think it doesn't matter if you weren't raised, you know, in a life in which, you know, you had to worry about, you know, where you were going to live, or you questioned about, you know, where your place was in the world. I think this is really a story of finding your place, and I think we all look to find our place in the world no matter what our walk in life is. I think we all look for that validation of worth and all of that. You know, I think there's a lot of value to the book that goes, that can speak to, you know, different people in different walks of life. And I know I was very interested because I have a niece that lost her parental rights, and you know, I really worry about, you know, what happened to her daughter. You know, what I actually got lucky because the people who eventually adopted the little girl did reach out to my father and to get some medical information and allowed us to see some pictures. But, you know, I worry about, you know, is she going to be able to grow up and have a regular, you know, life where she knows that she's loved? She seems to be in a wonderful environment, which is nice. But, you know, what kind, it makes me wonder, and I want to ask you, now, you know, you're an adult and you can look back on your life and kind of analyze it a little differently than when you were going through it as a child. You know, what are the greatest challenges once you become an adult, when you know that, you know, that you had to go through the system and you had to endure all those things? You know, what are the challenges for you even now as an adult?
Well, first of all, I would like to say, comment on your niece's child. Being adopted is a little bit different than being fostered or orphaned. Adoption, my brother and sister, the little ones, were adopted, and, you know, they were chosen, and they were loved. That's a forever home. You know, that is what we all search for these children that are in foster care. So will she grow up and have questions about her mother, and will she question whether or not her, you know, mother found value in her or not? I think that anyone that grows up without their natural parents will question that. It won't define you, but you will question it. So I really feel good that your niece's child was adopted. That's a forever home and a happily ever after story as far as in the world of foster care and orphans. Now, as far as moving forward in my life, has that had an impact on me? Absolutely, it's had an impact on me. And for the first part of my early adulthood, it wasn't a very positive impact on me. And even though I know what had happened to me was not my fault, I still, to this day, will have insecurities as far as abandonment issues. If there's like five things you needed to know about orphans or foster kids, the first thing you need to know about them is they're going to grow up with a fear of abandonment. And every decision that they make in their life is based on that fear. And now that I know that about myself, I move forward cautiously with that in mind.
Now, how do you see God in what's happened to you and who you are now?
God has always been with me. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior when I was 14 years old, and it was by the grace of God that I'm here today. I believe that every experience that God gave me, Every person that he put in my life was in perfect preparation for the future that only he can see for me. And with that in mind, going back and writing this book, I became ever aware of the power of forgiveness and finding the mercy and the grace in each and every one of the dark places. That's how I was able to move on. So God is a very big part of who I was when I was a child and who I am today.
And do you find that children who are going through something similar to what you went through, do you find that finding God helps them feel a little more grounded? Do you see children who are finding God, who are searching for something and finding that, and is that helping?
It is helping, and it's a gift that Catherine and I share with each and every one of our CASA children. It is a little devotional book, age appropriate. It's the introduction to Jesus, and we've been really fortunate that a couple of our families do have foster families are faith based, so they have that, and they know that they're not alone. So it does help them. Absolutely, it helps them.
And then for you, I just wonder, when you were 14 and you became saved, did you really find yourself bonding with the entire thought of here's us parent, our father, who will never leave me? I mean, was that soothing for you when you finally found God?
Yeah, at the age of 14, my comprehension of the works of my Father in heaven was very naive. Even though I went to church three times a week, it was only as I got older that I realized that he is my Father. He is my mother. He's everything that I need. No, I didn't get that when I was a child. I just knew that I wanted to live a life with Jesus in my heart.
What do you think people will get out of reading this book? Both for those who have experienced something similar and to those who have never known this kind of life.
Well, what I hope they get out of the book is that they realize that there's a plan for each and every one of our lives, and even through the mists, most painful events, they all will work together to give us a story, and it will help us to grow, and it will help us to heal, and it will learn, and then we take that pain and past, and we use it and put purpose, courage, others. That's what I hope that they get out of this story.
I love that. Now, what's next for you?
Carver Road, the sequel to A Forest of Doors, as it only takes A Forest of Doors only takes me into my mid-30s, and so Carver Road is in the works right now, and I hope to have a spring or summer release on that. It's going to be just as emotionally packed as Forest of Doors. That's why I decided to do them separately, because there's a lot of emotion.
And did that really kind of take a toll on? Did you find yourself tired as you were writing it? Did it really wear on you to relive that?
I grieved. I grieved,
yeah,
until I found healing. And there were periods through writing where I had to step back, and I had to step back for a while because I was grieving, and I knew that I had to heal, that there was still healing that needed to be done. But yes, it was dark traveling back there.
Now, with the next book, is this a kind of the continuation of the journey up until now? Is there, you know, do you discuss, is there like a discussion opportunity in the book where you can, where you give like resources or anything like that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. There will be that. There will be discussion in the book, and it will take the readers to current. There have been a lot of twists and changes since reuniting with my four siblings, which was a miracle in itself, and it will bring the reader up to date on all of that.
And the reuniting with your siblings, now that's covered, that's covered in the first book, correct?
Yes, yes. As
and
yes,
so,
it is.
And I don't want to give too much away because I really do want people to, you know, to wonder what that might have been like. That's why I wanted to just touch on that for a moment, because you think of, you know, a family, you know, starting out together and then kind of shattering in a way. And that moment of getting, you know, coming back together and what that might have felt like and been like, you know, to catching up and just seeing each other or just being together with somebody who kind of shared a certain part of your journey or maybe understands something that you're going through that maybe nobody else in the world could. And, you know, I just kind of wanted to leave a little bit to the imagination for the readers, because I think that is such an incredibly powerful human story right mm-hmm. there to kind of go through this with you and then to know that moment is, you know, is something that you're going to address. So now tell me something. Where can people find you on the internet? Where can they interact with you? Do you do any speaking engagements, anything like that?
I have been open for speaking engagements, but basically right now I'm doing radio interviews 2 to 3 a week. I have a public Facebook page called A Forest of Doors, and they can message me through that, or they can email me through A Forest of Doors webpage. It has a place where they can send me a message, or if they would like a speaking engagement or a book signing or something like that, they can message through that, and that comes directly to me. And that is a direct www.aforestofdoors.com.
You know, and I could see a lot of different types of, you know, colleges being interested. I mean, just the whole American Orphan story and, mm-hmm. you know, and how you have turned your life around and now you're helping children like you wish you could have been helped. I think it's an amazing story. I think you're an amazing person. It's, you know, just the all the things that you've gone through, and here you are, you're not bitter, you're not blaming God that your life wasn't wonderful and that you didn't have, you know, the American dream that everybody, you know, wants, but you took what God gave you and you let them become lessons and you learn from them and you turn them around and you're helping children have better lives. And I think that's very admirable. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. God bless you for that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And you know, anyone out there can do the same thing.
Yeah, and I, that's part of the reason I hope that people will go check out the website, check out Facebook. I know I believe the prologue is on the website. And, you know, it's an amazing story that I hope that you'll check out, A Forest of Doors. Thank you so much, Lynn-Ann, for joining us.
Thank you so much. You've been a great host. It's been my pleasure.
And I want to thank our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio, our InFaith Network arm here. Don't forget that you'll find us at readersentertainment.com on our Christian channel. I'll also have it featured. I think this is an amazing story. We'll feature that on the site, so it'll be easy for you to find. Stop by, leave a comment. If you have a question, leave a question. We'll make sure that Lynn-Ann gets that. And I'm your host, Sheila English, and thank you for joining us. Happy reading, everybody.
In Faith Network Radio. Blessings through entertainment. www.infaithnetwork.com. Come join our ever-growing Christian community.